So welcome to All Things Apostolic on this Monday. Of course, it's on all week, and so you can view it at any time. If you're viewing it later, we'll just welcome whatever time it is where you're at. But on this Monday, July the 15th, and I mentioned this last week because when the calendar clicks past June into July, or even hits June, but mainly when it clicks past June into July, something kind of happens to me. And I realize that this thing is moving fast. So you go back and you assess the last 6 months. Now, usually we do like, you know, most of us are prone to, well, let's assess the last year, or let's assess the last 3 years, or let's assess the last 10 years. And in that process, the incremental progress, or even the lack thereof, can seem, the progress can seem significant, and or the failures can be said, well, that was during this period of time several years ago. When you go back 6 months, you can't hardly do that. If there's been no advancement or progress in the last 6 months, think about that in your ministry, in your personal ministry. You don't have to be a preacher. In the church, if you're a pastor or a leader, is there progress that has been taking place? So in a six-month period, you can pretty well tell. And if you're keeping any kind of record of the 6 month, has anybody got saved? How many people have come in? How strong is our support program once they come in? Our preliminary studies on, so you're now a Christian, or you're now a Pentecostal, or you're now a child of God, or you're now born again, or whatever, whatever you're using. All of that, how are we doing on that? Has our church grown? Are the services better? Have we even thought about making them better? Are things running down, or are they getting better? All of this is part of the assessment. So after 6 months, I would have to say that our last 6 months has been incredibly successful. And I won't go off on all that today because I did mention it last Monday, but this is... this is a big deal that we see progress in our lives. And if not, then that we do an assessment of ourselves. I mean, we don't have to do it on the street corner and yell all the results and embarrass ourselves if it was bad, or look proud if we're doing good. But we need to obey the scripture, which says, examine yourselves. Self-examination. And so it's not easy. Self-examination is not easy. Because you have to step outside of yourself, which you have the capability of doing, which animals and trees and other earth life doesn't have that ability. An animal never looks at his paw and says, I'm a dog or a cat or whatever they are. But a human looks at their hand and I am outside of myself. I'm objectively conscious of my hand. So I have objectivity, I have subjectivity. That's part of being made in the image of God. And so to step outside, to examine yourselves, is to step outside of yourself and look at yourself as an onlooker and try to make good judgments about that. Sometimes you need other people to help you do that because, number one, we don't want to face up to our weaknesses, and some things we're embarrassed with, we'll just kind of gloss over. The other parts of the picture don't make us very comfortable. So examining ourselves is important. Sometimes your best friends are your worst critics. So you let your critics talk, and instead of defending yourself, you listen. Then you take that home, that data, that's actually data about the perception of yourself. It may have come as negative and so forth, but or even hostile, but you take it home and then you assess that. Is this really true? or is this not as through as they was making it, but is there even that much of that in me? And if there is, how do I deal with that? How do I eradicate that? How do I manage these things? So all of that is part and parcel of the processes. So every once in a while, somebody asks me, say, well, what do you do during the day? Or someone will ask, said, could we just come and spend a day or two with you, or 3 days, and just talk? And I've done that more than once, you know, where it's just a special time. But what we do every day does need part of that examining ourselves. Every once in a while, we need to stop and say, what am I doing every day? Now, the one thing that really we shy away from is saying, how many hours a day do I spend on things that have no value of ultimacy, no value of ultimate concern, of heaven and hell, of the work of God, the bringing of the kingdom of God. So sometimes we avoid that because the times that we are wasting, we would say, well, we're recreating, we're restoring so we can plow in again. So all of that, you know, all of that has to be measured in our lives if we're honest with ourselves. And we have to look at our lives as a treasure that we are, we're given this treasure. It's not really ours. Know ye not that you're bought with a price. So, but we're given this treasure and we are the head investor. It's been entrusted to us, the treasure of whatever my life is or can become. And so how are we using that and how are we using our time? All of that's part of it. So anyway, every once in a while somebody will ask, well, what do you do? What does your daily schedule look like? Well, I just thought of that this week. I've thought about it a little bit. And my daily schedule is I have more control of it now that I am not pastoring than I had when I was pastoring. As president of the university, there is a little more freedom to move here and yon without as many daily appointment constraints. However, I still have a lot of appointments and a lot to do as president of the university and other things. As the editor of the Primer Study Bible, there's still things going on there that are great, that require time, that require meetings. For example, later this morning, I have to call the head of the translation committee, the Spanish language translation committee, because we're translating the Primer Study Bible into Spanish. So you'll have a Spanish Bible itself, and then all the notes will be connected with each verse like they're supposed to be, the commentary on each verse, and all of that will also be in Spanish, and all the front matter and the back matter and everything, it will be Spanish. Well, when you translate from one language to another, anybody that's ever done translation knows that it's difficult to get it exact. And then when you are translating theological material, there's words that that the languages don't use much, and so a lot of people don't even know what those words are in the language that is the content's being translated into. So we are really excited. Our translation, we have a translation team that is actually the translation team of missionary Eugene Dominguez, and he is a tremendous mind, a tremendous scholar in his own right, a tremendous author, wrote a very, very good book that I recommend to everybody. The Spanish version of the Bible that most people use is the Reina Valera 1960 version, and so When you look and you say, who was Reyna and who was Valletta? He wrote a book about that. Very interesting that that Bible has input in it that is very, very oneness. So anyway, you can get the book. The man that helped write that book was a good friend of Michael Servetus. So anyway, Brother Dominguez has a team of people, and they are from different areas. They all speak Spanish, but they are from different areas of the world. And as such, they have different emphases and intonations and different nuances of how words are spoken or what words are usually used in a more formal area than an informal area and so forth. And so to have a translation team like that has been a godsend, an absolute godsend. And then he has, and we have, people who will look over the notes several times. These will be reread and edited four or five times prior to the time they ever get to the typesetter. So the typesetter can set all of this in Spanish, and then we get it to the printer, we print it, and then we have a Spanish Premier Study Bible. That I know of, there's never been an apostolic Spanish study Bible. And this is going to be a tremendous asset to the ever-growing Spanish community of apostolics around the world, of which they're, the second most spoke language in the world is Spanish, second or third. And so this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And we're in the process of doing that. The Apostolic Publishers International is the corporation behind this. And the Premier Study Bible is the owned by the API. And it is doing a great work with the presentation of this Spanish version. Now, we don't know when it'll be finished. It'll probably be another, but we should finish within the next 12 months. Let's put it that way, by God's help. And then we'll see where we're at going forward of other languages also. So anyway, I'm working on that, and I have a phone call that I need to make. This is one of the things I'm doing today. And we'll be talking about that. The Spanish versions all come back. I do not speak Spanish. I know a little Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish, and I certainly am not on the level to be able to judge these works. But they will mark stuff, and they will highlight it, and then they will ask questions. This is how we think we're going to translate this in Spanish. The exact translation is whatever it is. And then they'll say, you know, there's different ways that might be translated, but this is what we're thinking. We just want to make sure that it's good. And so there are others that Brother Steve Waldron and Dr. Johnny King are helping us with this part of it. That's part of the last aspects of the translation. So the whole Old Testament is translated, and it's now in our hands to do what I just described. They are now working on the New Testament. Also, Brother Oscar Terrasas, who is a tremendous student in his own right, is facilitating this, and he's working on it. He's already finished a topical concordance. It'll be unique. It'll be the only one that I know of in the Spanish language anywhere, a topical concordance. And he spent hours on this, and we're excited about it. It'll be in that Bible. So these are things that are going on that that I'm working on weekly. And as of today, I'll be working on it daily. And then I will be working on, I've still got five or six books of the Old Testament that are assigned to me by myself and that I will be doing. That's the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We haven't done those yet. We actually started at the end of the Old Testament with the smaller books, the minor prophets, and then worked our way back so that we could get a higher volume out and back to the translation group so they could be working on that. So anyway, good things are taking place. And I'm in the recording room right now, the studio at the school, but I've got things that have to be done here today. I am working on, along with others, we're very excited about this, the Wilson University Master's Leadership degree, which will be introduced, God willing, next year, and which is only 6 months away. It'll probably be later in the year than that when it's introduced, but we're working furiously on that. We have a 9 o'clock meeting with the Master's Degree Development Committee, which is 8 or 9 scholars. That'll be in the morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be a Zoom meeting, and we'll be deciding more on what's going on there and how, showing everyone how to develop the courses. These people have the content, but on the developing the courses, that's where we come in. How do you put the content into a course? And we're working on several of them. I personally have been working on an introduction to eschatology. So I worked on that yesterday. I worked on that last night. I worked on that last week. A lot of work. But these courses are going to be pristine. These courses are going to be so wonderful. And we've always had to do our master's, well, not always, but most of the time we've had to do our master's by utilizing what another university, a non-apostolic university, had in their master's so that we could provide an accredited one. But now we're accredited on our own, and we don't need that anymore. And one of the complaints we've often got, this is not a criticism of other people, but is that they take the apostolic ones and they're so intrigued by them, and then they take the other ones and they're a little bit bored by them, and some people just won't take them at all. So like I say, we're not criticizing, we're just saying that's the fact, that's the data from people that have taken parts or all or none of the masters provided by partner universities. So now we will have our own. We've had our own once before, but it's been years ago, and then we were not allowed to do that under the present circumstances of the State of California Education Department. Now we're back, and it's going to be absolutely many times better than ever. And so if you're not a part of that, you have a bachelor's degree, you need to get into that. If you don't have a bachelor's degree, you could still take some of the grad level cert programs. We've set it up where you can do that, where you can take a portion of it, and then later, if you want a master's degree, you can plug it straight into the master's. It all goes towards the Wilson's master's. Exciting times, exciting times. All right, my time's up. God bless you. I've enjoyed being with you today. We'll try to talk some more substance next week.